Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Fourth and final hour. Darren Donick and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. A snowy Monday here in Middle Tennessee. It's been snowing all morning and now all afternoon. And I am pumped about that. It has been awesome to see. I did not expect this today. I know they have been throwing out that S word. It has happened all day. It's still not sticking, but that's fine. If it just swirled around all day, I would be cool with that. Pretty cool. You just heard us talking about Mike Vrabel. We're efforting to get Vince Ferrara. Jeremy Pruitt moved his press conference today than his normal time. The kids are not in school, and so I think they were playing around with press conference time. Looks like if everything goes off as planned, it'll be Tennessee and Florida this week, and then the SEC is expected this week to also announce kind of the remainder of their games. And it looks like Tennessee Vanderbilt will be on December the 12th, and December 19th will be Tennessee and A&M. So potentially three games if they can get them in. Florida, Vanderbilt, and A&M is what the Vols face out for the rest of the year.
And when is the championship game?
It's supposed to be the 19th, isn't it?
I thought so. So are they?
Well, we think about it. Look at the games they've got slated. Right, this is what's out there floating around that is supposed to be announced this week by the SEC. The games that is being floated out there that I'm seeing on Twitter is December 19th, Texas A&M and Tennessee that I just alluded to, Missouri, Mississippi State, and Ole Miss and LSU. What do all those teams have in common? None of them will be playing in Atlanta. Right? If you notice, Florida and Alabama are not on that schedule.
No, but how weird will it be you play the SEC championship game? Oh, by the way, we have other games, too, on the schedule. Got to take care of.
Well, I haven't seen the times for those, but I think what they should do is what usually the SEC championship game is, what, about 4 or 5 o'clock our time? I'd like to see all those games.
It's been like 2:30.
No, it's not that early. It's usually 4 or 5 hour time. I'd like to see them get all these games in, right, beforehand.
Sure.
Play 11 o'clock, you know, a couple 11 o'clocks and maybe even a 2:30. One of those games be a 2:30 game.
Yeah, well, just make the championship game be at prime time. Yeah, last year was 3 o'clock.
Was it 3 o'clock Central last year?
Yep.
I don't ever remember being that early. That must have been early. Typically, it's like 4 or 5. Huh. I don't even know. Have they released the time for this year? Is it going to be 3 o'clock Central?
I haven't seen it.
If that's the case, then make all these 11 o'clock
To see when 2018 was.
Let's bring in Vince Ferrara while you're doing that. From WNML, the sports animal there in Knoxville, at Vince Sports on Twitter. Vince, how you doing?
Good, guys. How you doing?
We were just talking about the SEC championship game on December 19th. Typically, hasn't it been like, let's see, your time would be 5 or 6 o'clock start, your time, typically, over the years?
Mid-afternoon, correct.
Okay, yep. So that's 4 or 5 hour time. Chase said last year it was 3 o'clock hour time, 4 o'clock your time. I don't remember them pushing it back that early. But I was just going over what is expected to be put out there this week, and apparently the SEC, from what I'm watching on Twitter, just the rumors are it'll be Ole Miss, LSU, Missouri, Mississippi State, and A&M and Tennessee on that same day as the SEC championship game.
Well, what would make the most sense, and you might have alluded to it, was that they moved that to prime time in the early evening and then play all the other games during the day.
Yeah.
So you put a bow on your SEC season with the title game. Obviously, those games aren't going to matter for the title game because they're being played on that day for that reason. But, I think that would make the most sense. And I thought I remember something about them moving into to maybe prime time, but maybe I'm dreaming that as 2020. It could have very well changed, and it may still be up in the air. I have not seen that. But, look, we get bowl games that don't matter after playoff games, so we can't rule anything out when it comes to college.
No, and look, Alabama, Florida, and the college football landscape of this year, that's about as good as it gets, right, in the country. Notre Dame, Clemson would have been – it was still good, but, without Trevor Lawrence, so it felt a little bit different. I mean, this would be as good as it gets, and to your point, yeah, it should be probably more like a 6 o'clock hour time start, 7 o'clock Eastern start, and put it on prime time under the lights, on Saturday evening.
2018 was also 3 o'clock Central.
Okay, but they have not put out anything for this year, which could be subject to change even if they do have something out.
Actually, I just pulled up a story from Barrett Salee at CBS Sports Radio. The game time is set for, that's Alabama and LSU. So, no, I they may not have decided on it yet. So.
And let me go on and put that out there. So the projections, as I'm saying, as I'm going to phrase it, for what the SEC will put out this week, December 12th, will be Alabama, Arkansas, Auburn, Mississippi State, Ole Miss, A&M, LSU, Florida, Georgia, Missouri, Tennessee, Vanderbilt.
Right. And the reason why they moved the Tennessee Vanderbilt game to the 12th instead of just sticking it where there was an open spot already on the 19th is because they want to get those division games in first in case they do have to chop anything on the backside. That's why you're going to see as many as possible cross division games on the 19th as sort of the makeup day. But if for some reason they have to lose them, then you lose one of those versus the division games. That's why A&M for Tennessee ended up on the 19th and Tennessee Vanderbilt is on the 12th, and I think you'll continue to see that if at all possible. But as we know, as we're getting later in this, there are fewer and fewer options.
We just got through playing Mike Vrabel's Monday press conference. We weren't sure afterwards if the team is 8-3 or 3-8. We're still trying to figure that out. Jeremy Pruitt spoke as well in the third hour of our show in Knoxville. What did Jeremy Pruitt have to say today?
Well, he didn't sound like a team that was 8-3.
Should
he. Right. Or 5-2 if you're just going to reverse the Yeah, just like people are probably rolling their eyes at that today with Vrabel and criticizing his team, and that's kind of the way he's wired, but people wouldn't buy it the other way either. But then he said they were closing the gap on Alabama, so anything's possible.
Nobody really believes that anymore. He needs to stop saying that.
No. And he has it. I'm not saying that, but I'm just saying it. At one point, he did say that, which didn't match how the season was going. But the biggest thing today was that he mentioned. I asked him about. He's thrown out there that they've had some guys out due to contact tracing. So I asked him how many, and he said about 16. But he said most of them should be available to play in the game. Now, that obviously makes it difficult to not practice for that period of time and then be eligible to play just before the game. I mean, you have to be – it'll be Trey Smith or a really established veteran starter to, A, do that, B, have any sort of success. He threw out some guys that had done it earlier in the year, but they didn't play a ton. And, I don't think they were all that effective either. So he also mentioned that one of them is a quarterback. He would not name the quarterback, but he said there is one quarterback that has been impacted by the contact tracing. He also mentioned two guys have tested positive since the Auburn game. But he wouldn't mention which quarterback. And obviously, if you can't practice as a quarterback, but then you're going to be eligible to play just the way the timeline played out just before the game this week, without those practice reps, that probably eliminates that quarterback. I guess if it was Garantano, he is the most experienced guy, so he would be the one that if someone would be trotted out there in that scenario, it would be a veteran guy, right? Because there's been times where he has missed practice due to injuries, things like that, to where he knows the offense and he's got reps in practice. And honestly, at this point, for him, those practice reps don't correlate to the games anyway. So I don't think that's a huge deal for him. I just think it's still very tough. So we'll see on who that opens the door for, or closes the door for that one quarterback, but he wouldn't say exactly who it was.
How do you think he's going to handle the quarterback situation on Saturday?
Well, if it's Garantano that's the quarterback that's not available, even with that scenario, I think that opens the door for him to start Harrison Bailey. And, you know, I kind of think that they're more and more open to it. You know, something else interesting he said about when asked about Bailey's development today, they asked him about, hey, have you been able to add more of the playbook for him, things like that. He said, it's not about the playbook. It's been about opportunities. Well, okay. Well, who controls the opportunities? So if it's not about the playbook or him being able to run the offense, things like that, and it's about the opportunities, then that's the last step to you putting him out there. And maybe that's his way of saying, all right, now he's ready for it. He's got a grasp on things. You complimented him and how smart he is and works hard and developing leadership. So we'll see if he's made enough progress in his mind to say, okay, now it's just about he needs reps. And so I think it's trending in that direction, but not knowing exactly who that quarterback is, you know, it's hard to say for sure, but I wouldn't be shocked if it is Bailey that we see on Saturday starting against Florida.
Vince Ferrara is with us, WNML, the sports animal in Knoxville, usually joins us at noon on Mondays here on the Wilson County Hyundai Hotline. Vince, we always talk about the quarterback, and so I know it's kind of hard to evaluate the rest of the offense because of the quarterback play, but do you think that whoever is under center, are they getting the proper help from the so-called weapons that he should be getting?
Not like we expected. Now, a key part of that could help is if those wide receivers that we really haven't seen a lot of those freshmen other than Jalen Hyatt, if those guys have taken advantage of their extra reps during these now three open weeks that they've gotten over the last month and a half, then if those guys are ready to contribute and they ball out, then yeah, that can add a different dynamic to the pass game. Or even if there's another step this year for freshman Jalen Hyde, who I think has a bright future. And the other big thing is the offensive line. The offensive line has not been what we expected it to. Now, I think they're coming off of their best game against Auburn. So I think that's a factor there as well. You know, what really hurts them is Jim Chaney loves to use the tight ends, and they just don't have a threat at tight end. And without Austin Pope, they're not as good at blocking at that position either. So you're predictable and you have no threat at tight end. On the other side, Florida has the best tight end in the country. Pruitt said, In all his years of coaching, he thinks he's the most talented guy that they've ever played against. And yes, he's dominant. And so I don't think they've defended opponents' tight ends great. I don't think they've been horrible, but they haven't played anyone like this kid. So I think that's a different story. So the trade out of tight end is just monumental. And then the other factor is the running backs. I think they've got a couple of really good running backs, including Gray, who had maybe his best game of his career against Auburn. And then Jim Chaney's a factor too. Do they call a different offense, Chase, if it's Harrison Bailey? Do they have a little bit more trust in them? Or are they going to have the trading wheels on and then go back to a conservative game plan? So I think a lot of it just depends on where they've done, what they've done the last couple of weeks, and then if Jeff Cheney does have a trust level and he's ready to just go with Bailey, which they haven't always been willing to do with Garantano.
We've talked about Jim Cheney, you know, in the last several weeks, and I don't think he's a bad coach by any means. How much is he being handcuffed by the head coach breathing down his neck? Is he truly allowed to do the things that he wants to do? You know, what have you behind the scenes? But let's play the hypothetical. If he is the scapegoat and it's Pruitt, he comes back, but there are changes on the staff and Cheney is one of them. Is it realistic to think that Jeremy Pruitt goes to one of his buddies and brings in somebody he has familiarity with, maybe it's Mike Bobo, that he brings him in to run the offense and that's kind of the route that he goes, so he can have, you know, he can still have some of that control and the OC's not pushing back on him?
Well, I think a lot of it, Chase, will be on availability. You know, one of the things that just thinking about it the last few weeks that I expect there to be coaching staff changes. You know, when you're a head coach and you have a really down year and people are talking about your job, but you're going to retain your job, which I think this is the scenario, going into a hot seat year, air quote, you stay in place, but you make changes to the staff to try to give it one last shot. But with the landscape of college football right now, there may not be as much movement in assistant coaches or coaches bouncing from job to job. There also may not be the willingness for the schools to make those changes. So, what's the pool going to be like? Maybe Bobo will be available or someone that he's already worked with. He's gone down that route with guys with his relationship as well. He's also brought in guys from the outside like Tyson Helton and Jimmy Brumbaugh that were recommended by others, and those haven't worked out either. So maybe that kind of steers him back towards somebody he's familiar with. But I don't know that Jim Cheney, unless they're not getting along and just cannot work together, I don't know that he's the most likely to go. I think that you'd see a number of position coach changes before a Jim Cheney. But in your scenario, sure, I think going to who you know, if they're available, is a comfort zone that we see in coaching a lot. But a lot of people are going to point to, you know, hey, you had Derek Dooley going into a hot seat year and he couldn't find the right guy and ended up making the disastrous Sal Santeri hire. Do you do that again? You know, I guess if you're making changes, you gotta do something. Because if it blows up, then everybody's going out together in the flames, I guess.
But in, you know, there were some, and we had this conversation at the beginning of the year of, okay, it's a COVID year, maybe that saves some jobs. But we've now seen two schools in the SEC that go, yep, nope. We're going to make changes in Vanderbilt and in South Carolina. And Will Muschamp's being paid, what, 13-something million dollars to go away in a pandemic year. So how much does what those two schools have done within the conference, within the division, kind of change maybe the way of thinking and put pressure on Philip Fulmer and Jeremy Pruitt, if Jeremy Pruitt comes back, to make some changes to the staffs, even though you know you're going to have to pay some buyouts?
Yeah, Jason, there's that example for, you know, fans and media and everyone to point to that, look, other schools have done it. Honestly, I don't think Vanderbilt's impacting Tennessee's thinking in any way. But say South Carolina, you say, all right, maybe they're out trying to take the next step in terms of their coach and candidate. Hugh Freeze is what everybody talks about. But the big difference with South Carolina is South Carolina's reserve. South Carolina has north of $40 million in their athletic budget reserve. Tennessee's at 8.5. So it is a much different financial situation and budget crunch and crisis for them. And that's before you even get into 2020 and get to the finish line and see what kind of damage there's done for this year. So I think it's harder to pull that off. Plus, with Pruitt and his staff, if you're to make changes like that, I mean, you're talking about around $19 million between the two, between Pruitt and his staff, to make them go away, then they have to pay another coach. Well, guess what you've done? You're more than doubling what your reserve was. And I know there's this whole pie in the sky. Well, you know, some booster come in, just drop, you know, write a check, and it'll go all away. It'll all go away. I don't think that's reality. Definitely not in 2020 and 2021. So I just think it is a different situation for Tennessee than for other schools. And, well, by the way, with Muschamp, he had a longer tenure there than Pruitt did. It's been 3 years now for Pruitt. So I think Tennessee's looking at its own situation and not impacted by others, honestly.
Talking to Vince Ferrar from the Sports Animal in Knoxville. And, of course, he's on our phone line, which is always driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Vince, did it surprise you just how easily Alabama carved up Auburn? And I ask this because, you know, you guys had seen Auburn not long before that. But just it was so impressive to me with Nick Saban not even available, how easy they just went right through their rival like that.
A little bit. I guess I was more surprised that Auburn couldn't do a little bit more offensively. But, you know, like, Bo Nix has not been anywhere near the quarterback on the road that he's been at home. I think in the Tennessee game when Bryce Thompson picked him off, I think that was his first interception he's thrown at home. So he's just a different quarterback on the road. And then Tank Bigsby, their stud running back, isn't 100%. He missed most of the Tennessee game. So you take those two factors, and Alabama hasn't continued to improve defensively. You know, it probably shouldn't have been that much of a shock. I thought it'd be a closer game, but, you know, Auburn's issues in not only, you know, stopping the run like they had against Tennessee, but at times having busts in coverage. You know, they've been there before this season, so I had it a little bit closer, but, man, Alabama continues to get better and separate from everybody else. So it certainly wasn't shocking.
And how about this, just a league context here. With Florida and Texas A&M kind of waiting and seeing, Ohio State has an uncertain situation right now going forward. How many games are they going to get in? Texas A&M, I was watching their game against LSU. They steadily pull away. It was a rainy game. Texas A&M is going to be in the mix here if they don't slip up. Vanderbilt was down 17-12 at Texas A&M on the first week with the ball first and 10 on the Texas A&M 23-yard line. If you'd have told me right there that Texas A&M was going to end up in the top five with a legit shot of making the playoffs, I'd have said, you're crazy. It's just amazing how things can unfold week after week.
Vince, tell me if you agree or disagree. I don't take Texas A&M serious because Kellen Mond is just too up and down, man. You don't know what you're getting from week to week with that guy.
Well, what's the recipe? And we've talked about it on the show. What's the recipe for championship contending teams?
It's not an inconsistent quarterback, I can tell you that.
It's not. It's an elite quarterback.
Yep.
And then enough an explosive offense and enough dudes on defense to where when you need a stop here and there, you can get them. And, you know, Alabama and Florida and the SEC have that. Texas A&M doesn't. Texas A&M has a much better running game than Florida. Really like Spiller. Wish they would use him more. But I just don't have the trust level in Mond, especially in big games. And that LSU game, other than the loss to Alabama, was the worst game they played since that Vanderbilt game. They've got a pretty good defense, A&M. So they got the defense, they had the run game. But Kellen Mond, you're right. That's the difference between Florida and A&M, because they've got the explosive offense, the quarterback, and then they still have enough dudes to make some plays, even though that defense is you know, still leaky. But hey, the offense is what drives the bus right now. It's not the defenses.
Yeah, and their defense was really good against LSU. LSU was pathetic on offense. But I'm just saying, and by the way, he showed up in the Florida game. I get it. He's good right. on certain days, but, I mean, there's just weeks I watch him, I'm like, man, he's average at best. And it's like, where did that guy we watched, you know, another week where he looked really good, where did that guy go? He's just way too up and down for me. That's just my two cents. Vince, really good stuff. Really appreciate it. Do you have snow, by the way, right now?
Not yet.
It's coming your way.
If there's a chance today and into tomorrow, so we'll deal with it.
It's coming your way. We're just here to tell you, okay? Little heads up. Hey, thanks
appreciate
for doing
it, guys.
This. Yep, appreciate
thanks.
It.
Thanks for having me. See ya.
Vince Ferrara in East Tennessee there at the Sports Animal, WNML. We'll come back. Man, there's a lot of things the rest of the way. We could talk about what Mike Vrabel said and the Titans-Colts game. And what's next for the Titans is they've got another big matchup, 8-3 Browns coming to town. Vanderbilt is looking for a new coach. The situation with Derek Mason, the Tennessee situation, man, there's a lot. Nashville SC, their season comes to an end. If you would like to talk to us the rest of the way, you can jump in there at 615-737-1025. That is our phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. But right now I want to talk to you about my friends. And, yes, they are my friends because I've been going there for years and they've been helping me for years at Cool Springs MD. And a lot of you in this area have been going there because they've been in our area since 2007. And Dr. Jeffrey Lodge is front and center in the quest to help you in so many areas. He's the board-certified physician over there. His wife, Daphne, is the registered nurse and their experienced staff. And they've got a big staff that is willing to help you, like I said, in so many ways. And the biggest thing is they just want to improve your quality of life. And as we all get older, geez, who doesn't want that? I know I do, and they have certainly been helping me with that. If you haven't been feeling yourself, you've been feeling off lately, just haven't had any energy, any drive, or maybe mood swings, go ahead and talk to them about hormone replacement therapy. They'll check your levels, make sure everything's all right. It's only natural as we get older, those levels dip, and sometimes they dip really, really low, which can affect you negatively. And so they can certainly get you headed in the right direction. Face and body rejuvenation, weight loss management, which is always critical in our life, but especially in 2020. They've got programs that can help you and people help you get in, going in the right direction ASAP. Those are just some of the things they house under one roof. If you need to schedule an appointment or a consultation, it's very easy. Pick up the phone and dial this number, 615-283-7291. That's 283-7291. Or you can always go to their website and learn everything about them. CoolSpringsMD.com.
At Market District, we believe in the power of great taste, like juicy heirloom tomatoes, cheesy house-made pizza, and fresh artisan-made bread. From produce to meats to chef-made meals, discover great taste at Market District.
Overtime, moss, mold, and mildew stains cover your home, and cleaning them is too much work. You need Wet and Forget, the easy bleach-free way to clean tough outdoor stains. For decks, patios, and cushions, use Wet and Forget outdoor spaces. No scrubbing, no rinsing. Just apply and let it do the work for you over time. Got a bigger job? Reach second-story siding and roofs with Outdoor Max. Up to a 30-foot reach and two times the coverage. Get Wet and Forget at Home Depot, Lowe's, and Walmart.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.